Great to welcome in Heisman Trophy winner and ESPN analyst Desmond Howard to our show here on Tide 99.1. Desmond, thanks for the time. A busy week, and I know we're going to talk football, but I do want to start things off talking to you about something that's important to me, something that I know from hearing you over the years is very important to you. But growing up in a boys and girls club and what that involvement has actually allowed you to do in your life and the involvement the boys and girls clubs played in your life.
Well, you know, the funny thing about it, Chris, is, you know, people, because I'm heavily involved in the Boys and Girls Club, that people think that, like, I grew up in one. And I grew up in a recreation center that's similar to Boys and Girls Club, but it wasn't a Boys and Girls Club. Okay. But I do know the importance of the Boys and Girls Club and influencing our young men and our young women all throughout the country. So I hooked up with them. And I provide, you know, just what we like to call some pretty cool experiences. And they get to come to the game day show. They get to see behind the scenes. They get to take a picture with the guys on the desk. And then I kind of mention them for a while, you know, talk, and we have a good time. They get something to eat. And it's just a novel experience for kids. Each week, I do it every week, and it's something that's been very, very successful. I've received handwritten letters from them that I keep because they're so special. So it's just a great experience. It's a win-win for everyone.
So it sounds like you're a lot like me in that you became more familiar with it directly as an adult instead of as a child, but understanding the importance of the organization and what it does do in young people's lives. That's
great
stuff. Great to hear. All right, obviously, let's talk football with you. And I want to get your thoughts from the Bama perspective. What, if anything, would scare you right now from Alabama's side of things as you look towards this last month of the season? Not necessarily a team, but when you're looking at Alabama in terms of its personnel, execution, lack of execution in some areas, what would be your one concern with Alabama?
Well, I would worry about fatigue at this point. You know, you want your players to be refreshed, re-energized, especially going into the last month of the regular season. And you try to find ways to get them, just re-energized, refreshed, to recharge their batteries. Because it's a long, grueling season for these young men, and it could take its toll on them. So I think that would be my main concern, to get them, get that battery just recharged. To jump that battery and get them charged up again, re-energized.
Is it just me, or does LSU not quite look like LSU? And if you're of that opinion as well, then why is that the case?
Well, LSU, they don't look like LSU from two standpoints. Offensively, they don't look like the LSU of the past. They actually look better on offense with Cam Cameron as the offensive coordinator. I think that Zach Mecklenburg has done a tremendous job this season, turning his skill set around from last year to this year. So I think from that standpoint, the offense, I think they've looked better than they've looked in previous seasons. Defensively, with John Chavis as the coordinator, I just think that they've struggled, especially on the back end. I was at the Georgia game, and I watched them just – the secondary looked confused. I mean, if you watch the Georgia game where the Bulldog receivers, and they caught deep passes or touchdown passes too, you would see, like, the safety looking at the nickel, pointing at him with his hands up, talking about what were you doing. I mean, it just seemed like guys weren't on the same page in the secondary. Now, I know there's some youth there. There's some inexperience there. But you should always at least know the coverage and know what your responsibilities are. Now, if a guy's just physically better than you, then so be it. But you shouldn't have mental lapses out there where you're blowing assignments, especially in big games like that on the road. Because you know, it's not like it's crowd noise. I mean, Georgia's on offense, so it's not like the crowd is drowning them out. So you should be able to hear the calls. You should be able to process the calls and go out there and execute it. So that's been really surprising to me how bad the LSU Tigers defense has played at times so far this season.
talking to Desmond Howard of ESPN, I understand how balanced Alabama is in their ability to throw the football, but it's not a place right now when you think Nick Saban, you don't think pass first. So with that being said, how unique is it to have as deep a collection of talented wide receivers at one place as he has right now?
Yeah, it's very rare. You know, you usually see that at the running back position. They usually have a stable of running backs, but it's just a good thing to have because it keeps defenses honest now. You know, they're going to load the box because at the end of the day, they know that the bread and butter is the running game, and that's what Nick Saban is going to want to do. But they know now that you have, you know, Kevin Norwood, you have Christian Jones, and, of course, Amari Cooper. Three guys who you got to pay attention to at the right wide receiver position. So I think it's good for the offense that they have that ability. Plus, you got A.J. McCarron. He's just excellent at what they ask of him. He's very efficient. You know, he's so smart. You know, he runs the offense extremely well. So it keeps defenses, in my opinion, on their toes.
Real quick, couple of things before we let you run. Can Missouri finish this thing off and get to Atlanta?
Well, we'll see. I mean, that's why we play the game. I mean, I never imagined that they would have lost that game against South Carolina at home, especially after they had so much momentum. But, you know, South Carolina went there and took it to them. I mean, you know, held them down to below their averages offensively and just played an amazing game. Now, they're going to have two challenges. They got to travel to Ole Miss. And then after that, they still got to play Johnny Manziel and the Texas A&M Aggies. So those are two big games left on their schedule. There, we'll see what they're made of.
All right. Is somebody going to get left out? Oregon, Florida State, Ohio State, even Baylor. Is there going to be an undefeated team that winds up getting left out of the mix?
Well, I mean, at this point, week 11 in the season, it looks like that may happen, but there's a lot of football left to be played. And, you know, it can happen. We'll see. I think that, you know, anything can happen Thursday night. You know, Oregon can lose to Stanford. Stanford plays Oregon. Well, they played Oregon tough, you know, and they beat Oregon. So, you know, it's not far-fetched to see Stanford walk away with a victory. And, you know, Oklahoma, they're not going to lay down for Baylor. I think that's going to be a very competitive game. I think Oklahoma's going to take a page out of Kansas State's book, which Kansas State took Baylor deep into the second half before Baylor pulled away and held Baylor under their national averages and points and yards, and they did it with running the ball and possessing and controlling the time of possession. So I think Oklahoma feels as though they can run the ball better than Kansas State, so I'm assuming that they're going to adopt the same philosophy. So there's a lot of football left to be played, and, you know, in my opinion, it works itself out on the field. I know it's good discussion for people to fill up, you know, airtime, but I think it'll work itself out on the field.